Thank you, Joe Bordeaux, and welcome to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and we are broadcasting today from the beautiful new Big C office located in downtown St. Pete. I want to take this time to thank our new sponsors, Big C and Advanced Recruiting Academy, for their support, and to all those working in our sponsors, thank you, too, for all of your help. And for those of you tuning in to Job Talk for the first time, you'll learn that it is my goal to talk with the leaders of every employer I can in Tampa Bay, big and small, and in every possible industry, so that anyone who's considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them better. Plus, it's been a lot of fun for me to meet and talk with some very interesting people, and I've made a lot of new friends in the process. So before I introduce my guests, I want to mention that if you want to view the website while listening, you can visit www.baycare.org/SAH. You can also follow us live as we can be seen on Periscope. You can view the stream by going to twitter.com/recruitacad and click on our live stream link. You can also add us on Periscope using the handle @ARAcademy. I'm very happy to welcome my guest today, Mr. Bill Albright, the president of St. Anthony's Hospital located in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome to Job Talk, Bill.
Dean, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate you being here. I've been wanting to be a guest for such a long time, and I want to start off by thanking a couple of people in particular for helping make this happen, Chris Steinacher and Sherry Robinson, for all your help. I really do appreciate it. Without your effort, I know you wouldn't be here today, so thank you very
much. There's a lot of things I wouldn't be at if it wasn't for Sherry.
That's for sure. Anyways, before we talk about St. Anthony's, you know, I'd really like to let everyone get to know about your background. So please tell us about yourself up until you became president of St. Anthony's Hospital. To begin with, where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from Chicago, but I grew up in Kentucky. So while I was in Kentucky, I actually volunteered in a hospital, and I thought the coolest job was the guy that walked around and talked to everybody. And I found out that was the administrator. So it started way back when that I knew that through my career, I wanted to eventually run the hospital, be part of that level of the organization. I was fortunate enough that after I graduated college, I got an opportunity to work for Humana when they owned hospitals and worked at their leadership program, and eventually worked in Georgia, in New Orleans prior to coming to this particular area. And it was I was the chief financial officer, assistant administrator for South Florida Baptist in Plant City prior to coming to St. Anthony's Hospital.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of hospital is that?
South Florida Baptist is a community hospital. It's about a 150-bed hospital in Plant City servicing that community. It's got a tremendous reputation, tremendous medical staff, and a great organization. And it's part of BayCare Health Systems, which St. Anthony's is part of as well. Mm-hmm. BayCare has 13 hospitals across the Tampa Bay marketplace, from Winter Haven to Newport Richey, all through Tampa with St. Joe's, St. Joe's Women's, St. Joe's South, St. Joe's North, St. Joe's Children's, Morton Plant Hospital, Meese Countryside, Meese Dunedin, Newport Richey, and St. Anthony's.
Wow, that's a long list to remember.
Actually, we just added Bartow Regional Hospital in the beginning of this year. So Bartow Regional and Winter Haven Hospitals are in Polk County.
Wow, that's wonderful. And when you came here, what was it like in St. Pete when you came here? And when did you join, actually, St. Anthony's?
I came to St. Anthony's in 2006. And so 2007. I've been with BayCare since it began. So I was on the original team that created BayCare and brought them together and brought the hospitals together. As a finance person, I came to do the deal, always knowing that I wanted to run the hospital. They gave me that opportunity when we brought all the various hospitals together.
Wow, that's great. And so what was it like here? Because you came from a different location, right?
Right. Interesting story. When I first came to town, there was the Titanic exhibit. I was living in Hillsborough County, and the Titanic exhibit was here in St. Petersburg. Now, my experience was it was a great show, but there wasn't a lot of happening downtown. It's not like it is today. And I really didn't come back. It was probably 10 years when I came back, and that was to take the job here at St. Anthony's to interview the job. And what an amazing transformation within a community over that period of time. Beach Street was operating. We had Baywalk Prior Sundial was very, very active. It was just really an exciting place to come back to. And I think back, I go, wow, we missed a lot that went on here. But now that I'm here, I think St. Petersburg is an incredible place to live, work, and play, as we say.
Mm-hmm. And so the hospital at St. Petersburg, so let's talk a little bit about that. Can you give us a little history? And was it always in the same place?
I sure can. It's kind of an interesting story because we are actually celebrating our 85th anniversary this year. So we've been around for quite a while, since 1931. And the sisters came down from, the Franciscan Sisters of Allegheny came down to this area and actually bought the hospital for $40,000. It was the old Faith Hospital that was in disrepair and was going bankrupt. The sisters came in and invested about $125,000, $150,000 to renovate it and bring it back up to speed. So I do have to admit that the sisters are much better at managing their money than I am because we couldn't have done anything for $125,000.
Great.
So the sisters came in, and that's what started it. And they have a model from the sisters' perspective that is just real important for us to respond to the needs of the people. And so I'm fortunate to have the opportunity to work with the sisters, and we still have sisters at the hospital. We have a convent on St. Anthony's campus. So they're there day in and day out, and it certainly sets that culture and that attitude that we have within our organization.
And they visit patients too, don't they?
They visit patients. So I have my sister Mary is the vice president of mission and community affairs. So we have they're employed. Several of them still work for us and still support the patients, the doctors, the team members as we run the hospital.
And you had a little event there this morning, right?
We did. Today actually is a kind of a special day. March 30th is Doctor's Day nationally. So we had a Doctor's Day celebration. We want to thank all of our doctors because we couldn't run the hospital without them. They are absolutely the leaders. They are an important piece of the team that takes care of our patients. But today, this morning, is Doctor's Day's event. Dr. Charlie Crist celebrated his 55th year as being a member of the St. Anthony's medical staff. So if that name sounds familiar, that is the father of former Governor Charlie Crist.
Wow. And I guess you gave him an award. What kind of award was that?
Just recognition for being on the medical staff for the 55 years, longest-term member of the medical staff. He's also part of BayCare Medical Group, which is another component within BayCare, where we have a physician group that are employed through the group. There are about 400 physicians and about 100 allied health providers, ARNPs, that are part of the organization across the entire Tampa Bay area. We have about 100 physicians in St. Petersburg alone.
Most people would get a plaque or something for their time, but I guess you guys gave them a little different.
It was kind of a unique plaque, I will say that. We went to present it to him. It was laying face down so they couldn't see it. And then when we turned it up, it's actually a San Damiano cross, which is the cross of the Franciscan Sisters. And it truly means every patient room in the hospital here and at St. Joe's has that cross because it represents the sisters and represents the beliefs and the spirit within our organizations.
That's wonderful. And what a great job all those years. That's great. Congratulations.
Imagine what you would see over 55 years mm-hmm. of the hospital being good, bad, going mm-hmm. through all those gyrations. But the one comment he made this morning was he talked about St. Anthony's was always the place where the people of St. Pete wanted to go for their care.
That's great. And so let's talk specifically about St. Anthony's. We talk about it being located. Where is it specifically for those that aren't too familiar with St. Petersburg?
St. Anthony's is actually in between 5th and 7th Avenue, 1200 block of the of 5th Avenue, 7th Avenue. Mm-hmm. It is right off the expressway, so it's very easy to access it from downtown, from the expressway. It's a 393-bed hospital. Mm-hmm. We have about 4,000 team members in the physician group and the hospital supporting it and operating it. So we're a pretty big job provider within our community. Mm-hmm. We do about 13,000 discharges a year. We have an emergency room that it's about 3 years old now, but it's still the newest to the community.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that. That's a very that's a wonderful new addition. And how did that happen?
The emergency rooms are the front door of the hospital for patients coming upstairs. So most of the time when you come to be admitted into the hospital, unless you're scheduled for surgery or something like that, you'll come in through the emergency room. So about 70% of the patients that are admitted into the hospital actually come in through our emergency room. So as we looked at the old emergency room, it was small, it was busy, it was very chaotic. So I challenged the team to go out and say, let's figure out how we could design an emergency room. There's, you know, two things you need to do to start with. One is it's going to be easy for our patients to get in, and it's got to eliminate the chaos. So many times in an emergency room, you have an open area with bays or rooms surrounding it, but people are walking back and forth. Well, our design is completely different, where we have a central core where only the doctors and the nurses come, and there's private rooms all around it. So there's 36 private rooms for the emergency room. So patients come from one side of the hall, providers, doctors, nurses come from the other, but it maintains a very safe, quiet, you know, you're able to think about what's going on with the patient versus having the chaos that went forward. So the team, you know, looked at it and came up with this design and this model. But we also have an area for behavioral health patients, so we can keep that, those patients, give them the right level of care at the right point in time as well.
Great. And when did that renovation come in? It was about 3 years ago?
3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. It was ironic. We closed the old emergency room at 5 o'clock in the morning and opened the new one at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we were literally completely full by 12 o'clock that afternoon.
Wow.
So within, you know, 7 hours, yeah, we were busy before, and it just got busy, and it's continued to get busy. We now see about 60,000 patients through our emergency room.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great. That's what, that's something you did. You challenged them on your just 3 or 4 years ago, and they came up with it.
It's a team sport. Everybody's in it together. We've got to figure out. We sit down, and we develop our vision, develop our direction. We identify what we need as we look forward in the future. We have some new projects that are actually coming on board starting this year.
Well, great. We'd love to talk about those. I also understand that there's a new satellite heart surgery center.
We recently received approval to do open heart procedures in 2015. So obviously we have approval to get the program up and running and going. So we're in the process of the construction project we have is to expand our operating rooms to add 3 additional operating rooms to the campus, those being large enough to provide open heart. But to get ready for that, we actually have a partnership with Morton Plant, one of the other Baycare hospitals, and their structural heart team. So it's Dr. Josh Rovin, who was here in St. Petersburg, Dr. John Offenlock, Dr. Derek Williams just came on board, and he'll be the point person here. So we actually have office set up. We have everything moving forward for all the diagnostics, all the treatments, and then we'll be ready once we get the new construction project completed to do open heart here in St. Petersburg.
And when will that be ready, you think?
Within, be towards the middle to the end of 2017.
Wow. Also, I read an article about St. Anthony's being honored by the Catholic Charities for the work at Pinellas Hope Medical Respite Program. Tell us about that.
Pinellas Hope is put on by Catholic Charities, and the bishop and his team and Frank Murphy, they really do a great job to provide outreach to those that are, I call it situational homeless, people that are in the homelessness situation, not for any fault of their own, but they want to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring social services. They have an area up in Pinellas Park where people can go and stay. And St. Anthony's is supportive in regards to the work that we do in donating funds, donating food, have volunteers go up there. We brought in, there are certain people that are there that may have home health antibiotics or something like that. So we created these little respite centers where someone could go in and receive their medication in a safe, clean environment instead of under the bridge or out in the community.
That's wonderful. My guest today is Mr. Bill Albright, the president of St. Anthony's Hospital, located here in St. Petersburg, Florida. You know, Bill, I'd like to talk about the other services of St. Anthony. The featured services are really surgery, orthopedics, oncology, neurology, and bariatrics and weight management. Let's talk about the surgery capabilities there. I understand you do ENT, colorectal, and weight loss surgery.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Our surgical programs are pretty phenomenal. We work in conjunction with the surgeons within our community, and that's really important because if you don't have good surgeons, you don't have good surgical programs, and I think we have the best surgeons in the area, and they're absolutely supportive. I'd read all their names off, but I forget one.
Sure.
I'd get in trouble, so guys, remember that when I said that. But I think, you know, when we look at what we do and the focus on the patient, and everything revolves around that patient experience from the physician side, from the team member side, from the hospital side, and we work very, very closely together. They work as a team on every one of those patients to make sure we do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons, and safety is the utmost importance in everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have some tremendous talented physicians doing some pretty incredible incredible work. We do about 65% of the vascular surgery in this community as well, so very active vascular surgical program. We did the first esophagealectomy in St. Petersburg in Pinellas County actually earlier this year with a new surgeon that came to town that, again, provides something new that we hadn't had in the past.
That's great. Let's talk about the orthopedics program that you have there. Joint replacement, a lot of sports medicine.
We actually have a very, very strong sports medicine program, which leads to orthopedics and leads to procedures for joint replacements, hips and knees, ACL replacements. And it's driven by the doctors that are involved and the team that's involved. We have trainers in high schools that work with the various high schools to help those, educate and help the coaches with injuries and those type of things, and injury prevention is very important. Mm-hmm. We have a relationship with the Tampa Bay Rays in regards to the fan care and the support for anyone that comes to the game, in addition to physicians on St. Anthony's medical staff, mm-hmm. also are the team physicians for the Rays, for the Bucks, for the Rowdies. So we actually have a strong, strong contingent out in the community to have those relationships and continue to get better and better as we deliver the care back to the community.
That's great. That says a lot for the quality of care that you must provide, and for all those sports teams to go there. Let's talk about the oncology capability. I understand you have a breast center, Susan Shepherd McGillicuddy Breast Center.
We do, and I'm very proud of that breast center, and it's kind of interesting as it began. My wife was a cancer survivor as well, and right prior before I came over here, she was finishing chemotherapy, and what I realized was the hardest part for a patient going through that experience was not knowing. And every time we have a delay or a wait or something happens, it just is very difficult for the patient and the family to manage through that. And when we opened the breast center, they were really proud that we were kind of put this thing in place and really take care of some of these things. But they came back to me, and I'd been there a short period of time at the hospital, that they were going to have, from a screening mammogram to a diagnostic mammogram to a physician appointment, over a 2 or 3 week period. I said, oh, we can't do that. We have 48 hours for us to turn that around because it's not right for the patient. It's not right for the family to have to wait. So we have to figure out that how we make that happen in our systems. So they looked at me like I had three heads, and they went, oh, my gosh, how are we going to do that? Well, the ironic part is in a very short period of time, we were beating the 48-hour rule. They were having the screening mammogram, the diagnostic, and a physician appointment in the same day. Perfect. Which certainly is what should happen to our patients, and certainly where we need to drive, where we need to go, not just in the breast cancer patients, but in all of our patients, because that's the worst part for a patient and a family, because you have a lot of time in between, I got something going on, that you get to go on the internet, you get to go and Google it, and you find all the stuff that can happen bad. And mm-hmm. the quicker we get to a point where we have diagnosis and treatment, because once you get the treatment, you get hope. Mm-hmm. You get the faith in what's happening within the medical community, the doctors that are treating you. But that's a big difference when you have hope versus not knowing. So we really do drive to make those diagnoses quick, get the treatment plan in line, and accurately take care of those patients. And I can tell you, across BayCare, that physician experience is so important, that a patient experience, how we get people into the system, get them to the point where we can start treatments and bring those together, is a driving force behind our whole organization.
Wonderful. Let's also talk about the neurology program there. I guess the American Stroke Association recently awarded you with its Get With The Guidelines Gold Plus Achievement Award. Congratulations on that. can you tell me about the neurology program and the imaging?
It is one of those areas I'm incredibly proud of. Truly, we have one floor on the St. Anthony's Physician Office Building, which is Fifth Avenue, right in front of the hospital. Second floor is all dedicated to diseases of the brain. It's dedicated to those neurologists. So we have 8 neurologists up there. We have a memory disorder center, which is another avenue for patients that have the onset of Alzheimer's or memory disorders, dementia. We have a neuropsychologist on board that helps set the stage for patients that are beginning to see some of those illnesses and issues. And that's so important because at the end of the day, broken bones and even knee replacements aren't going to bankrupt the healthcare system. Chronic diseases will bankrupt the healthcare system. So diabetes, memory disorder, congestive heart failure, those are the things that we need to learn how to get in front of the disease so that we can change our communities, change the health that's delivered with our communities. Instead of responding to a broken bone or a torn ACL, we're trying to get people in front of those diseases and manage those diseases instead of responding to when someone's very, very sick. So neurology is one of those great examples of where the diseases of the brain, the memory disorder, the epilepsy, the myasthenia gravis, MS, there's so many that we're trying to figure out from a muscular perspective, from a brain perspective, how do we get in front of those diseases and identify those issues earlier so we can help people work through those because many of them are chronic, that they will be ongoing. So our team, the team with Baker Medical Group, as well as the team within St. Anthony's, we've got the 3T MRI, which is a high-level MRI that does a lot of the diagnosis. We have the PET scanning capabilities. We have a lot of things that we can put in place to identify early in the process whether or not we may head down that path towards a dementia or something of that nature. Or if someone says, you know, my parents are forgetting all the time, and we bring them in, we can do an assessment to see where are they in that scale. And I think that's very beneficial as you get ready. Our memory disorder center is different than most. We don't do a lot of research. We don't do a lot of diagnostics. We truly focus on patient navigation. So what happens to the patients and the families once you get a diagnosis or once you get, you know, a fear of the onset? We can help the patient through that, whether that's through, you know, direction to community, truly directed at moving people through the community. We don't have to create everything for everybody because we have a lot of great businesses and a lot of great people in our communities that provide these services. We serve as that navigator to get a family or get a patient to an elder attorney for those types of issues, to physicians, to different programs. And we're pretty excited about what's happening there.
Great. Also, imaging. I understand that you were the first in the area to provide a community with digital mammography in St. Anthony's.
That would be correct. And we have that actually all across Bay Care. We're even expanding that more to a more advanced version of the TOMO mammography is coming on. We have it in a number of our centers now. Again, the better equipment gives you that opportunity to get an earlier diagnosis, identify where an issue may or may not be, and then turn it around very quickly. So we, you know, if someone has a lump that we identify, let's find out what it is to start a treatment plan, or find out what it is to say you're good, everything's fine. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. You know, and the other specialty we talked about was bariatrics and weight management. I understand you do lap band surgery there too.
We do. Bariatrics is such a broad issue nationally as we see more people in the United States becoming obese. So we do need to be able to respond to that, but that's at the far end of it. So in responding to the bariatric patients, large patients that have lap band surgery or balloon surgery, where they're trying to lose weight and drop weight, and that's all great. And we have great programs and great doctors and great things that happen with that. We actually have rooms in the emergency room for larger patients, rooms on the floors upstairs for patients that weigh over 400 pounds. So very difficult to manage those patients in a normal size room. So we have to do that particular piece. The other onset of that is how do we get in front of obesity? How do we get in front of diseases? And we spend time doing that as well.
And I think you have an arrangement with YMCA in regard to fitness and diabetes.
I start with diabetes because that one, another one of those initiatives from a community hospital's perspective. And St. Anthony's is a community hospital. We are here. Well, you know, we don't have shareholders. We have our community. So everything we do here stays in our communities. And across Bay Care, it's that same way. Everything stays in Tampa Bay, and we think that's very important. So as we look at diabetes and we say chronic disease, it's going to cost us a lot of money in the future, what can we do? Well, the hospital is really, really good at taking care of diabetic patients. Well, I also sit on the YMCA board, and YMCA received a demonstration project to provide pre-diabetic programming. So I'm sitting there going, making this connection. I said, well, why can't we bring those two things together? And what I've learned about diabetes is about 90% of type 2 diabetes could be avoided by two things, diet and exercise. We all heard that since kindergarten. You should eat good food and you should get your exercise. real important as we go forward. But if we can eliminate or reduce the diabetic patients, and if 90% can be avoided, we need to do something. So what we came up with is working initially in a partnership with the YMCA, that as we had patients that came through that their A1C levels were higher, they were leading themselves to, there's a little quiz that you can take to see if you could be a possible pre-diabetic, and then we can get you into that program to try to avoid that piece. And then if they do have diabetes, then we refer them back to the hospital. We manage them through our Life Health program, which is diabetic nutrition program, education program, to help patients manage their diabetes. Because once you get it, you can't go back. But if you can prevent it, that's certainly a good thing. Mm-hmm. Well, the cool thing about it was, is that once we had those two relationships started, we decided we need to make a bigger difference to the community here in St. Petersburg. So we decided we'd create a diabetic summit. And we went out and said, all right, who in the community is involved in diabetes? And the first meeting, we invited 10, 15 people that we thought had some functions. St. Pete Free Clinic does a lot of work on uninsured patients. The health department, Johnny Ruth Clark, they all have a role and function. Well, we had the first meeting, and it was a sellout crowd. There was more and more people involved, and they identified more people. So we had our second summit, and we had about 70 people show up, and we decided that, okay, as a group, we can make a difference to our community in preventing diabetes and managing diabetes for our community, for our patients, and for everyone going forward. So we actually have a goal from that summit committee is to reduce the onset of diabetes by 20% in St. Petersburg by 2020. And so it's our 20 by 20, vision that we want to change the delivery of care so that we focus on prevention versus focusing on treatment across the entire system. We like having the Y, St. Pete Free Clinic, the health department. We're just one hospital. So we want everybody to be involved because we truly believe we can make that kind of a difference in the health of our communities as we move forward.
Can you even help your employees? You have a fitness kind of program at the hospital too?
We do. We actually work with the American Heart Association. We have a healthy fit hospital fit business plan. Mm-hmm. We have walking programs. We actually have a competition going on right now, measuring your steps, and we have some pretty cool awards we get each stage of the way as team members participate, because we also believe in having a healthy workforce. Healthy workforce can be reflected in many ways. It can be reflected in the cost of the health insurance that we have to provide. It can be reflected in the reduction in absenteeism. It can be reflected in the attitudes that our team members have as they take care of our patients, because sometimes it's really challenging. You got a sick patient, and if you're not feeling well or you're not feeling fit, it's a little more difficult to have that right attitude, that right perspective in delivering that care. So we continue to do that, and even within the hospital, we have, and Caroline, who's one of our facilities, has a fitness center there. We have rates that they can come over and use that facility, as well as in the hospital. We have team members can use some of the facilities there for fitness. Mm-hmm. We have a walking trail out around the hospital. We actually have an indoor walking trail, so if the weather's inclement. Fortunately, it's St. Petersburg. It is Florida. It's a great place to be. So, but even when it's too hot, we have a little quarter-mile walking trail through the hospital that also makes it easier for people. They take a break. Instead of, don't have a candy bar, they take a little walk around the facility, which helps us all out.
Absolutely. All right. My guest is Bill Albright, the president of St. Anthony's Hospital, located right here in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. So, Bill, let's talk about jobs. It's in the healthcare and business industry, basically, there's a lot of shortage of different types of folks, in particular nursing and others, So tell me, are there any critical positions that you're looking for right now?
Oh, we have a number of critical positions. And I'll start with, when you talk about jobs in healthcare, in the service sectors where we've seen most of the job growth driven from the recovery. And here at St. Anthony's, we've been incredibly fortunate as we grow our business and we grow the patients that we serve, the communities that we serve, we're able to provide good jobs, full-time jobs for people within the community that we certainly see ourselves as a strong employer. And then we look across BayCare. We got 25,000 employees across the entire system, which is pretty incredible as we have that outreach. Mm-hmm. For critical jobs, a couple of them are kind of interesting. That in the med tech role for the laboratory technicians, that we see that as one today, as well as in the future, is going to have a huge number of vacancies. Because what's happening is they lab techs and med techs are getting older. They're hitting that retirement curve, and we didn't backfill them. So there's not a pipeline of people coming along. The ironic part is there's a lot of people in the community that will have a degree in chemistry or biology or some sort of science degree that could lead right into those particular positions. And they're good paying positions that can mean a lot if you can't find something that you want to do with your degree somewhere else. So that's a great opportunity for people to move into or use what experience they have already to come into the system. Another area is in the operating room. From an operating room perspective, OR techs as well as OR nurses and circulators that are in the operating room, when we actually take our existing workforce, existing nursing force, and create internships for team members to move from ICU, med-surg, into the OR, so they get that experience and get that expertise, so we grow our own in many cases. Mm-hmm. And just overall, in nursing, I think we have a huge bubble that's coming along. As our baby boomers are hitting age of retirement, we don't have enough to replace those that are retired. So as more and more of our nurses reach the retirement age and they stop working or they cut back, because a lot of people work fewer hours, we don't have a great pool behind us that's going to fill that need. So I think that's one area that we really need to focus going forward, is to make sure we fill that pipeline with nurses that will take care of you and I when we get sick and we need that care.
Exactly. And also, what I'm really impressed with is the career path that you allow people to go down. I mean, it's not just you come in and do one job and that's where you have to stay. Can you tell us and elaborate on what kind of career path one would have if they came in, say, as a tech and had aspirations and dreams to be a nurse or a doctor even? Can you tell us about that?
We're much more organized at that today than we did when I was growing up through the system. Mm-hmm. I always knew I wanted to run the hospital, so I was in the back of my mind. So I actually worked in the hospital. I'm a volunteer. I transported patients. I was an OR tech. I worked in pharmacy. I worked at various places, and it's kind of made my own career path. Well, we got much better at that. We got much better at, all right, we have a good employee that's working really hard, whether they might be in environmental services or food service at an entry-level position. How do we train them to become a patient care tech or certified nursing assistant, CNA? And so we develop programs that can take those really good employees that want to do more, not sure how they're going to get there. So their managers and team resources, we talk about how do we develop a career path for a person. So someone could come in at a very entry-level position, admitting clerk, environmental services, and then we could train them to move into a CNA position. And from the CNA position, we can get them into the nursing program. They can get their two-year nursing degree, so they're an RN, and they can start working as a nurse, and certainly a significant income level. But we don't stop there. We want to continue that growth so someone can become a four-year bachelor RN, because one of our goals across the system is to have bachelor-level nurses within all of our facilities. So we want to grow that. Then when they do that, there's the opportunity to go into more specialties, whether that's intensive care. I mentioned the OR earlier, whether that's to be in pediatrics or be in OB. Even though we may not provide the services at St. Anthony's, being part of BayCare, being part of the bigger system, creates huge opportunities for someone that wants to keep advancing and moving forward. That also leads to, if someone's a nurse or someone wants to get into management level of things, we have those opportunities as well. We have management training that will also help and assist people to get there.
That's great. And I'd like you to tell the story of Dr. Feilinger's path.
Dr. Feilinger, if he hears this, he's probably going to laugh at me, but we'll tell the story. Dr. Feilinger is our chief of staff over all the physicians over at St. Anthony's. So we have the chief of the physician program. And he actually started as a paramedic. He worked as an RN. He went back into medical school and came back as an emergency room physician and is now in leadership roles within our organization. So truly starting at a lower level in the organization and working their way up. Every position is incredibly important, so he learned what was important there. One of the things that his initiatives this year and the hospital's initiatives is communication between nurses and doctors. And I can't think of a better person who could fill that role and help us through that as someone who was a nurse and is now a doctor to help us pull that communication together. Because if we make those improvements, we'll make improvements in the care we deliver to our patients.
That's great. And that brings us to the interview tip of the week. And so if somebody does want to apply for a position at St. Anthony's, what one piece of advice would you give them?
Yeah, Dean, this is an interesting one, because when you first mentioned it to me, I had to think of something, but it came so quickly. Working at St. Anthony's is not just a job. Sister Mary talks about it's a calling. It's a vocation. It's more than just being the environmental services person. I asked one of my environmental service techs, you know, what he thought his job was. He says, well, make the experience better for the patient. It wasn't to clean the room. It wasn't to, you know, make sure the dust was off the floor. It was to make it a better experience for our patient. So if you're, the interview of the tip is, if you want to come to St. Anthony's, have that calling that you want to make a difference to people's lives, because that's the type of people we're looking for.
Great. You know, and I'd like to talk about a couple other things regarding you. You have I know that you have today's Doctor's Day, certainly.
Yes.
And then you have another event that's coming up on the 22nd of April.
That's a big event. That's we kind of take over St. Anthony's. One year, the Tampa International Airport said, welcome to St. Anthony's instead of welcome to St. Petersburg, because the St. Anthony's Triathlon is going on. And the St. Anthony's Triathlon is the fifth-ranked triathlon at the Olympic distance in the world. So we'll have 60 to 90 of the greatest athletes in the world come to St. Petersburg for that weekend. It's a big weekend. We actually start with an expo on Friday, and then on Saturday we have what we call our novice or our kids race, which is called Meek and Mighty. And Meek and Mighty is a shorter race for kids and for anybody who wants to try a triathlon, swim, bike, and run. And it's really exciting that day. So we have about 1,500 people participate on that day. And then on the big day, we have about 3,000 or 4,000 people that participate in an Olympic distance event. And last year, we actually added a sprint distance event. So the sprint distance, I'm not going to get these wrong, but I'll be close. About a half-mile swim, 10-mile bike, and a 5K or 3.1-mile run. And then the Olympic distance is about a mile swim, a 25-mile bike, and then a 10K or 6.2-mile run. It is incredible. It is, you know, kind of like the Super Bowl of those kind of events, those kind of participatory, and you know, you get to participate with in the same race at the same time with the greatest athletes in the world.
Great.
Now, I have to admit, when I first got here, I thought they were crazy. I said, why in the world would you want to do something like this? You know, swim and then bike and then
right.
run, and the run part was one we got. Well, some of my team members came to me one day and said, hey, why don't you be the first president to run St. Anthony's Triathlon? I looked at him with kind of an indignant look in my eye, like, you're crazy. They said, well, what are you afraid of? You know, it always works back to fear,
sure.
right? They said, swim. I said, well, no, I swam in high school. I could probably figure that out. The bike, I said, no, I did. I said, but to run 6 miles, nobody in their right mind should run 6 miles. They go, you know you could walk. And I was like, I lost my excuse.
Yeah.
So I literally, after that year, I did it after that point. This will be my sixth triathlon that I'll do coming up on the 22nd.
Hey, congratulations. And so tell us, I think ticket prices go up after today.
Actually, registration today is the last day to register at the lower rate, and that's for the participants. Now, for everybody can come watch. You have great scenery. We go through Snow Isle. We go all the way down on the bike down to Pinellas Point. It comes through the whole community. So anybody can come and watch. But if you want to participate in the event, prices go up tomorrow. So today's the last day before you can make that happen.
Great. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the boards that you're on as well. You just stepped down as the chair of the St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce. I heard that was, you know, just a wonderful year. So tell us about what happened during your term as the chair.
My belief as the head of the local hospital in the community is, you have to be willing to participate in the community. You can't just sit in your office. You may have the greatest care, do the greatest things, but you got to be part of the community. So I truly step out and try to be involved in different boards and different programs, but I always think chambers of commerce are a great place to start and be part of it. So I was actually part of the LSP class, the Leadership St. Pete class of 2008, and it was phenomenal to watch and learn. Some of my closest friends, non-hospital related, came out of that class, and even to today are part of, you know, my life and part of what goes on. But being part of the chamber, you get to hear what's good about your organization, what's bad about your organization, what can you do to be better, and you get to learn about what your community is involved in. So as I've been on the board for gosh, probably 7 or 8 years now. And last year, I got the privilege to serve as the chair of that board, which is an incredibly distinguished group of people, led by Chris Steinacher, who is a fabulous chamber CEO that does a wonderful job and is certainly passionate about St. Petersburg. That board is passionate, that organization, and to see the chamber truly be the leader in so many things. So as I look at this past year, one of the biggest things that we did was we started the St. Petersburg Economic Development Corporation, which is the Grow Smarter Plan, and that's to create ability to bring businesses, move businesses, develop existing businesses, and truly address the challenges in St. Pete. And that group's moving forward. We've secured additional funding to make that happen. And I think that's truly going to be one of those economic leaders working with the city, working with other partners. And it's truly a city chamber, public-private partnership that comes together that's going to really improve and look at what we can do to bring more jobs, to have more talent, to improve the rates of pay that we have going through the order, through the community. And that's really, you know, if I looked at this year, to get that kick-started off the ground and moving forward was probably the proudest accomplishment of that group, as well as seeing, you know, so many people visiting our communities, so many businesses start our communities. We had the ribbon cuttings, which were, you know, they happened all the time. Mm-hmm. And one of our other board members commented at the exec committee the other day, how many he's got to do is Greg holding the new chair. There's all these ribbon cuttings. Okay. And it is a tie into what St. Pete is about, what a great community St. Pete is, and where you really do want to live, work, and play. Bring your business. Come for a job. Come for a calling if you're in the healthcare field. We're here for you, and it's a great place to be.
Well, that's great. And you're also on the board of the YMCA.
I am. Mm-hmm. The YMCA, I think it's important, again, to participate in the community, but you also have to have balance. So I only participate in two boards at one time. So the chamber and the Y were my commitment across those lines. Mm-hmm. The Y, more from the perspective, is I was a Y kid. I grew up in the YMCAs, went to, you know, the summer camps, played T-ball, and so I always feel there's a connection back to every YMCA that I've been part of as I've gone through my life. And the same way it's here in St. Petersburg. The Y does a great job.
David's doing a great job over there.
Mm-hmm. Dave is wonderful. His team is wonderful. But this Y is unique. It's not just a fitness center. They have a huge focus on early childhood education. They reach out to Lake McGlory and the Sphere Academy that was created just recently. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But that it's great stuff from the Y's perspective and a great board to be part of as well.
Wonderful. And my guest today is Bill Albright, the president of St. Anthony's Hospital in St. Petersburg, Florida here. And just a couple more questions, Bill. We'll get you out of here.
No problem.
This is at this point, I allow my guests to give the opportunity to say anything they want to anyone. Any shout outs? Do you have anybody you want to say hello to?
Oh, absolutely. Certainly the team at St. Anthony's. And today, celebrating Doctor's Day here in St. Petersburg and across the rest of the country, thank you to all that do so much. You're special people. I couldn't do what you do, but it's certainly a privilege to be able to work with you and to have, you know, that talent and those intelligence around taking care of us. Got a, you know, shout out to my wife Ann, my daughter Emily, and Lindsay. They're actually going to try to listen to this today, so we'll see if that happens.
All right.
And it certainly want to thank them for all their support as we kind of move forward in life.
Wonderful. And then one last thing. I think I know your opinion about what you feel about the community, but, you know, for those people considering new locations for the family business, you know, please give me your opinion as to whether Tampa Bay is a really good place to consider if you're thinking about moving your family or business.
I truly believe Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg in particular, is a phenomenal place for your business. It has everything that you would need from where to live. If you want a walking community, the downtown St. Petersburg area is incredible. You never have to get out of your car. You can go to the grocery store, to restaurants, to entertainment centers. If you know, beautiful neighborhoods and subdivisions as far as living, school system, strong school system throughout the area. I think it's important, if you want to set your business up, that the area continues to grow, it continues to develop, so there is opportunities for new businesses to come in and businesses to keep growing and expanding. And I always think that's important, that our existing businesses be successful, grow, and expand. So I think it's a fabulous place to live, work, and play.
Wonderful. So, Lou, I want to thank you so much for being here today, taking your busy schedule, taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. So thank you so much, Bill. Really appreciate it. And if anybody does want to know more about St. Anthony's Hospital, do you have a Facebook page and all of that?
We do. St. Anthony's Hospital.
Mm-hmm. And again, your website is baycare.org/sah.com. And again, just thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
And now it's time for the Job Talk alumni updates. And alumni Pete Chapman, the former Mr. Britain and owner of the Fit Room Express and Pre-Tech building in downtown St. Pete, has begun his effort to become a franchise organization. And he's asked us to let everyone know he's looking for 5 companies who have or want to create a healthy business culture and who want to help their employees reach their healthy lifestyle goals. So Pete has an incredible new program going on. And if any employer can help their employees get healthier while making their work experience better and even avoid one worker's comp claim, it's well worth it. So for more information and or to get set up an appointment with Pete, check out his website at fitroomexpress.com. Another timely alumni update, since we're talking about the healthcare field, comes from good friends Harry Bieswinger, CEO of NetDirector. He mentioned that they have a new video on their website that's an introduction to their amazing product, the Health Data Exchange, helping hospitals, image centers, physician groups, and labs, and more. So check out netdirector.biz. Another reminder comes from our friends at Heart Gallery Pinellas and Pasco that their biggest event of the year and their 10th anniversary gala is being held at the Tropicana Field on May 5th. Tickets are on sale now, so please support a wonderful organization. Go to their website at heartgallerykids.org. And the shout-outs today go to Kim in Charleston in New York. It was great to meet you, and I look forward to more discussions, perhaps having you as a guest on Job Talk in the near future. And also the Tampa Bay Rays, they begin their season with opening day this Sunday, April 3rd at the Trop. Maybe we'll get Brian to come on here. What do you think, Bill?
I think we should. He'd be great.
Perfect. And then they play the Toronto Blue Jays, and the game starts at 4:05 p.m. this Sunday. So good luck to the Tampa Rays in the 2016-17 season. And I just hope that you'll all take the time to check out the site and explore all the music and shows that are featured here. And if you can't listen live, check out the archive section where you can listen at your convenience. There's something for everyone, and new shows are in production, too. Our newest contributor is someone I mentioned in the alumni update segment, and that's Pete Chapman. He does a podcast now called Fitness Philosopher. Check it out in the archive section of the website. And you can download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer, and that's RadioSaintPete.com. Also, if you enjoy listening to this program, please tell your friends and let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests on Job Talk. You can send those suggestions to me at DeanLogan@RadioSaintPete.com. So I want to give special thanks to Joe Bordeaux, Zooey, Cat, Joe, Andy, and the entire Big C team. I truly appreciate all of your support. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with a final thought and say to everyone listening, if you are thinking about relocating your family or business and are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did. I think you'll be glad you did too. So thanks for listening, and until next time, when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.